A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 152. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Outcasts. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Outcasts from 2011, a very recent show for us here on British Invaders. BBC series, 8 episodes of 60 minutes length each. Quite a big budget show for the BBC and a hard sort of science fiction approach from the Beeb, dealing with this story of colonists on a new world, struggling to survive, struggling to create a lasting and viable society in the wake of some undisclosed ecological disaster back on Earth.
Yes, and they're also fighting against the planet, which is quite a hostile environment, and some apparently estranged explorers who are living outside the colony. And the sort of tendency of humanity to be in this constant state of conflict. So there is lots of conflict between different groups and between the characters in this.
Yes, absolutely. And as we mentioned last time, this is one of the themes for the writer Ben Richards, was whether humanity could get by without conflict, you know, on this new world. And it would seem from these episodes that it can't, because there's plenty of conflict, as we've said.
That's right. So looking at the planet Carpathia and the ongoing story as it develops with this, Carpathia is an Earth-like planet. It's in the so-called Goldilocks zone, the habitable zone of where a planet should be. But even being what's considered this quite good and quite habitable planet, it is prone to dust storms and whiteouts. There was a strange disease that came from somewhere that affected children, and in its own way is really quite hostile as an environment.
Yes, and we get this suggestion at one point that the colony is not producing children at the rate it needs to survive. And as you say, there was some nasty disease in the past, and maybe there's suggestions that disease has come back again. And we've got the mysteries of the planet, in particular, this supposedly uninhabited planet appears to have its own fossil record, which is discovered in one of the later episodes, when they start finding weird fossils that sort of give hints to the past history of Carpathia itself. And then we also get this other sort of, I suppose, not really spelled out idea, but something perhaps borrowed from the novel and the films of Solaris, that in some way Carpathia affects the psyche and it certainly seems to affect memories. It's not, you know, completely gone into, but there's hints there as we go along, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And we also get into the advanced cultivars, or the ACs, which are these genetically engineered humans, the explorers that were part of this project and this colony, but have basically become outcasts living somewhere out in the wilderness. And that relates back to some of the decisions that the president, Richard Tate, had made in the past, in the early years of this colony. And it seems like maybe they understand Carpathia and its wilderness and how it interacts with humans better than the main colonists themselves do.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they can cope better with some of the extremes of Carpathia. And in one episode, we'll see two of the PAS security members from Fort Haven caught outside in one of these whiteout dust storms. And it's only through the actions of one of the ACs that they survive, I think, because the ACs can cope with that, whereas the ordinary humans can't.
Meanwhile, Fort Haven is struggling to supply the needs of several thousand residents, and the resources that it has are very limited.
Yes, I don't think we're actually told how many of them there are, but it must be in the thousands in Fort Haven.
That's how it seems.
Yes. And, you know, we do see outside Fort Haven, we see their enormous sort of solar energy farms. So great arrays of solar energy panels to provide the power for the city. There's mention made of hydroponics, which to grow the food that they need. Then, you know, we've got a control center where the leaders meet. We've got a medical center. We've got Dr. Stella Eisen, this neuroscientist who's having to split her time between her scientific interests and trying to run the security of the city. And in particular, we get a little minor subplot about some new technology that she's developed, a dream imaging technology, which I think from the early episodes seems like it's going to become a feature of the stories, but they don't really do much more with it as the series goes on, Brian. I think that was left for later.
Yes, they just touch on it here and there. But it helps to give you this idea that this setting on Carpathia has a mixture of some things that are very futuristic and high technology, like the dream monitoring and so on. But at the same time, there is a lot of sort of low-tech things with houses being put together out of containers and this sort of outdoor hostile environment and so on.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting stuff. As you say, we have to have some real hard science in there. And there is enough of it, I think, as we go along, along with this day-to-day story of sort of human struggles to survive, really.
Yes, absolutely.
So we are going to talk a little bit about the reception of this show and particularly go on to talk about why it never got a second series. So there it was in 2011. I remember it at the time being heavily trailed by the BBC, who, as we know, had obviously spent a considerable amount on taking a whole production company to South Africa to film it. And initially, the first episode got a reasonably promising 4.5 million audience viewing figures. But those viewing figures fell off rather sharply from then on. And apart from one good newspaper review, which is mentioned on the Wikipedia page, most of the reviews were fairly critical and negative. And it didn't seem to be justifying, I suppose, the budget, nor its primetime slot, Brian.
That's right. After the fifth episode, the last three were moved from that Tuesday primetime slot to a late night Sunday slot, which is not a good sign, and usually means they're just airing it when they can to finish it out. And it was announced that they would not be pursuing a second series.
Which is, you know, strange in a way that they didn't stick with it, at least give it its run of the eight episodes at the prime time slot. But there you go. I suppose these are the harsh realities of modern television. As soon as the viewing figures fell off and the reviews started to come in, it was shuffled away in the schedules.
That's right.
So we have to ask the question, which we sort of teased when we said we were going to talk about this show, which is, why did it fail? Why did Outcasts not succeed? There have been many criticisms. You may have got the idea, if you haven't seen the show from listening to us, that there's perhaps too much going on all at once, Brian. There's perhaps too many plot strands and too soon, with, you know, quite a number of plots and subplots jostling for our attention.
That's right. There are a lot of things happening there, and it drives things to a more heavy plot focus than character focus, perhaps, although they certainly did have some character focus there as well. But that can be a tricky balance with modern style television, especially.
Okay. Of course, the first episode got those reasonable viewing figures, but then they dropped off sharply. So we have to wonder whether, in fact, the first episode didn't do the job, didn't really grab people's attention, and didn't give them that impetus to come back and watch the second episode. Maybe the first episode itself was a failure.
Well, it's possible. And you also have this type of show where the major characters are all really quite flawed, and it may be that that made it hard for people to latch on to what was going on and find characters that they liked. I found some of the characters were very interesting and quite watchable, but they were not necessarily characters that were easy to identify with. Some people felt they should have focused a little more on Cass and Fleur, being that those characters were just a little bit more identifiable, maybe. But that was not how this series was set up, and I don't know if that would have worked in its favor or not. It also shows some of the difficulties of having a lot of hard science fiction in a show like this, because when you do that, it becomes hard to get all of the bits and pieces in to make it a show that people will watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that audiences are far more used to sort of the fantastic aspect of science fiction as obviously portrayed by Doctor Who and Torchwood. And maybe the BBC and other channels over here struggling with more hard science fiction. It's interesting that at around about the same time, there were a couple of other shows, which I think were on the BBC as well. One was called Paradox, and I know that one was certainly set up for a second series, which never happened. And there was another show called The Deep, which is more self-contained. But they were also, despite their sort of fairly big-name casts and big budgets, they were, I think, relative failures. So maybe there just wasn't the appetite for sort of hard science fiction television shows.
It's possible. And it's possible that it's just something that is difficult to make it work. And I don't think we want to say that this was entirely a failure as a show. But unfortunately, it did not work in such a way that it got the audience numbers that it needed, or that it got, for the most part, strong reviews.
Okay. It's interesting, an interesting dilemma. And if you have your own views on why Outcasts failed, do let us know. Join us on the Facebook group or through one of the other contact methods, because it's interesting perhaps to talk about.
Absolutely.
Not much daylight left either.
We need to keep going, make up his head start. You heard what Stella said.
She's a feminist academic. Not going to say it probably will turn out for the best, is she?
Well, at least she doesn't think violence is the answer to everything.
And who does? See, that's the kind of stupid generalisation that really annoys me.
It wasn't women who designed, built and fired nuclear weapons.
Well, nor did the millions of men who got turned into shadows on the pavements of Shanghai and Chicago. Right? You can't just...
So I think that leads us into our little section on the good and the bad. What were our personal reactions? What did we think of this show? So, Eamon, what did you like about Outcasts?
Well, do you know, Brian, I think it's got lots and lots of good ideas. Although, as we've said, that may also be a problem, because they were sort of throwing lots of stuff at the screen and hoping some of it would stick with viewers, which clearly it didn't. But I like some of the stuff that's going on. I like some of the hints about Carpathia itself. I like this group of survivors sort of struggling to get by. I like some of the hints about their own secrets and dark pasts. And, you know, I would have liked to find out more about it if the series had gone on to a second season.
Yes, there were some interesting things in here. There were lots of good ideas. I think the problem was that they tried to get involved in all of these different ideas and all of these different plot strands at the same time. And maybe it would have been more effective if some of them were delayed a little bit to the later episodes in series one or to a potential later series. That may have been a more effective approach. But all in all, the set of ideas they had in there I thought were pretty good. I also did enjoy some of the characters in this, and I know in some cases they were not that popular, but I think they, for the most part, work reasonably well.
Yeah, I think Cass and Fleur and the actors who played them, I think they were great. I enjoyed their on-screen relationship, and they were certainly very likable, despite their own sort of, you know, possible dark secrets. President Tate and Dr. Eisen, slightly more cold, chilly characters with the weight of authority on them. But again, you know, stuff that we could have found out more about them as it went on. And there's this whole stuff about Dr. Eisen and her daughter, which would have been interesting to get into as well, because her daughter does indeed turn up on the last transport, but their relationship is very difficult. So yeah, the cast are good, I think, actually. You know, the actors certainly are all very good.
Yes, there are some good things there. I liked having Jamie Bamber in it at the beginning. I would have been nicer if they kept him around a little bit longer. But I enjoyed his character and how he fit in.
Yeah, they clearly couldn't keep him for more than one episode, or probably they couldn't afford him for more than one episode, which was a shame, because he might have kept some of the audience.
Yes, that's quite true, I think. It might have helped to have him stick around a little bit longer. And it could have been interesting in the dynamics as well.
So the writing and the direction, any particular comments about the good or the bad there, Brian?
I thought it was reasonably good. It was done fairly well. On the negative side, for me, I would say it was mostly that they were just trying to do so much all at the same time that it took quite a while for things to get moving with this show. And by the time it was really moving in the right direction and starting to get interesting, it was already in those last few episodes that had already been, I think, moved to that time slot that was not as good.
Yes, it does get better towards the end of the 8 episodes, and it starts to settle down, and I think, fine, its rhythm. But as you say, Brian, by then it was too late, wasn't it? The show was lost.
Yes. Eamon, here's a comparison that you won't be expecting, I think. Quite some time ago, we reviewed a 1970s series called Moonbase 3.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember.
And it was quite striking in how the first episode or two were very weak, but each episode was better than the previous one. And by the end of its 6 episodes, it was a very strong series. But that gradual build-up, so by the end, well, it was already clear, I guess, that it was not going to get a second series. And that was too bad, because if they had been able to continue it, there could have been some very good things there. And this sort of reminded me of Moonbase 3 in that aspect. It was not quite as stark a difference, but it was something where it was an okay show at the beginning and sort of gradually got things in place. And by the time it was at the end of that first series, it was getting to be a pretty good show. And I would have liked to see a second series of this. I think with how they were doing it, that I would have enjoyed the second series more than the first. But unfortunately, and I think this was the biggest flaw with this show, was it took them too long to get going. And unfortunately, these days especially, you can't take quite so long to get going and maintain an audience.
No, I think that's right. You've got to grab your audience straight away. You've got to hit the floor running. And the early episodes had too much going on. I think some of the actors themselves were sort of struggling to understand their characters' motivations. And it was perhaps all too much to begin with, and it didn't work out. And as you say, later episodes, it really gets rather good.
Yes, by the time they build things up, they were getting to some quite good stuff with some interesting things in there, and I liked some of the complex aspects. But in order to build that, it just became a little bit cumbersome having it all building up at the same time.
Yeah. We should say that whatever the budget was, it certainly looks very good for it, because the effects up there on the screen are quite lovely, I think. You know, the outer space stuff with the colony ships, and then the planet Carpathia itself, and even the container city of Fort Haven. It's all very well realized, I think.
Yes, it all looks very good. I definitely like the look of the location and how they used it. And yeah, the effects work and the sets was all very well done.
Okay. I'll mention at this point some Facebook feedback we had from Bernard, who, interestingly, I think made a comparison that others have made, that it was quite similar to the show Lost in a way. I think it was almost the BBC trying to find their own Lost with this group of survivors in a strange place. Bernard describes it as being rather inconsistent and a bit on the miserable side. And it does have to be said that it is rather glum in places.
Yes, there is not a lot of joy or humour for these characters.
No, not a great deal of good news for the future of the human race, but there we go.
So I think that leads us into our recommendations. So, Eamon, what will you recommend for this?
Well, I'm going to actually surprise myself and maybe one or two of the listeners and say, actually, I liked Outcasts. I quite liked it the first time, and watching it again now, I really liked it. And I would have very happily joined in with a second season. Obviously, we're never going to get that now. But it's quite cheap to get hold of. And so I'm going to say, yes, if you never saw it, give it a try. It's not bad at all. Brian.
Okay, I will be a little bit more tentative than that. It's a pretty good show, and if you are willing to go with something that is going to have that slow build up to the interesting things in the later episodes, then absolutely, it's a fun show. It is not a favorite of mine, but it was pretty good. So I would say certainly if you have Netflix available and you want to check something out that has, you know, some fun things with a bit of space stuff and lots of threads building up with something complex there, it's a nice little 8-episode ride. So, yeah, check it out. It's pretty decent.
Okay, so perhaps not quite what you expected from us here on British Invaders. But as ever, if you agree or disagree with our take on Outcasts, we'd love to hear from you. Do get in touch either on the Facebook page or through one of the feedback methods. Give us your memories of watching it at the time, or maybe if you've watched it more recently, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Outcasts was a 2011 BBC show that took place on a planet called Carpathia, where a group of colonists had taken the 10 or 15 year journey to get there and were mostly cut off in this small city made out of containers, trying to make their way there and dealing with some strange things that may have already existed on this planet, and some outcast citizens from their own group living on the outside, and some internal conflict, and some politics there, and some people who had just arrived on a newer colony ship, and in fact, also some of the characters having dark things in their own past. So lots of little complex things popping up here and lots of dark things hiding in people's past.
Okay, interesting show. Do let us know if you've seen it.
Absolutely.
And of course, please come back and join us next time where we are discussing another show that perhaps does a slow build, but in a rather different fashion. We're going back to the 1960s, to ITV, and to possibly a rather overlooked science fiction conspiracy thriller called Undermined, which certainly was a new one to me, and maybe to you. So an interesting show to look at next time, Brian.
Yes, definitely a fairly obscure one, but an interesting one to look at, for sure. You can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at britishinvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can see us there. And we are on Facebook, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group.
Yes, that's right, and the Facebook group at the moment quite busy recasting all of Doctor Who's companions, which is quite interesting and fun. And if you don't find us there, you may choose to find us on the Voice of Geek streaming radio network on the internet. That's at vognetwork.com. And as ever, we say hello to our Vogon listeners.
Hello indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England saying the truth is still out there somewhere.